When I lived in West Brewster, my house was next door to Red Top Cemetery. It's a small Methodist churchyard, whose church, in fact, had been moved to East Dennis many years before, where it remains as a residence today. Red Top Cemetery is not an unusual cemetery. It's not particularly old. The earliest graves only go back to 1812, and there aren't any impressive monuments or curious epitaphs. It was a country churchyard, and the people in it were, by and large, ordinary country folk leading ordinary lives. But this was, in fact, its appeal. It offered a window on rural life here 2 centuries ago, if only I had the wit to see it. One summer, I decided it might be interesting to take an informal census of these mute neighbors of mine. Over the course of the season, I found 140 stones erected before 1950 with legible names and dates. As expected, the great majority were dominated by a handful of local families. There were 38 members of the Sears clan, followed by 14 Ellises, a dozen Blacks, and a sprinkling of Howes, Crowles, and Clarks, good West Brewster names all. Demographically, the dates on the headstones were typical of their time and place. The average age of those buried in Red Top Cemetery worked out to 43.6 years, which was roughly the national life expectancy during the late 1800s. Comparatively few, though, actually died in middle age. There was a relatively high infant mortality rate of 8%, but this was balanced at the other end by a surprising number of long-lived locals. Of those who survived infancy and early childhood diseases, nearly half lived to be 60, over a third reached 70, and 18 survived into their 80s and 90s. The champion of longevity was Dorcas Howland, who died in 1939 at the age of 99. The tough endured. Of those who died in their 20s and 30s, most were wives in childbearing years. 15 died in adolescence, most likely from smallpox, typhus, or tuberculosis. Of this last group, one stone in particular drew my eye. It belonged to Mahala Toby, who died in 1827 at the age of 13. Not only did she die at the very brink of adolescence, but she seems to have been laid to rest among strangers. No other members of her family appeared to be buried with her. Out of the blurred legends and truncated stones, one could hear or half-hear certain attitudes or emotions shared by all those who lay under the sod, as well as hints of personal tragedy. All of the headstones were of a remarkably uniform and modest size, perhaps reflecting the Methodist aversion to ostentation, or more likely, a certain economic democracy in the community. Where the family could afford a carving, it was usually the standard willow and urn of the Victorian era, but such decorations were few. Most contained sentimental references to this vale of tears, to children as faded blossoms, and to meeting again in the afterlife. Most of the epitaphs in Red Top Cemetery, with their conventional expressions of grief, exhortations to virtue, and professions of faith, are such as can be found in almost any cemetery of its vintage. Yet I also came on several headstones that bear the distinct mark of the Cape and its ocean-going heritage, and I'll tell you about some of these next week.